February 21st, 2022, 5:30, come to order. Next, item two, discussion of the Guardian program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So tonight we want to, I've had conversations with y'all regarding Guardian programs, and I feel like we're in the right direction. As I discussed, I talked with Mr. Revel, Mr. Arnold, with the sheriff. You know, the Guardian program came into an existence after Parkland shooting. And, there's a packet in front of you. I apologize to the sheriff's office. They have made copies as well. This is from DOE's website. I sent y'all links to this already, so you have that, but I'm still a paper guy. I like to have stuff to refer to real quick. But it kind of gives a history of how that came into existence. And so I don't want to take away from them. But this is what I would ask y'all, is we start that conversation now corporately instead of individually. Because Sunshine Law, one may not know how the other one feels about this, and obviously y'all can't discuss that kind of stuff outside of board meeting. So I wanted to have this first workshop to so y'all can kind of talk, discuss, ask questions. Somebody might have a question. You know, we have been blessed, and I'm very proud of the fact that we've been in unity on our school board, and I just can't thank y'all enough. But if there's any one item that we sure enough need to be unified on, I believe is this. It can be controversial. It changes the structure of the Liberty County school system. It puts firearms in the hands of people in the school system. That's, you know, to the best of my knowledge, never been done before. Maybe in the 80s when we brought firearms to the back of our pickup trucks because we was hunting before school or something, but not in that kind of vein. Things have changed, and so we have violence in the schools. I'm very careful to say it's violence in the schools. Not, you know, some people like to make it politicized and say, well, it's gun violence, gun violence. But it's violence involving some guns, but it's violence. At the end of the day, it's violence. Whether you're throwing rocks or using a bow and arrow, it doesn't matter. It's violence. And, you know, the need or the expectations from our community. You know, there's people talking, our constituents are talking, you know, wanting to make sure our schools are protected. One of the great things, and it, you know, kind of, it's a real blessing, is that one of the initiatives with safe schools and all that kind of came into existence. Number one was have a school safety officer. We have one. By state law, he has the ability to arrest people, you know, and detain them. That's part of state law, and he does a, Ricky does a phenomenal job at that. He does multiple things, wears multiple hats, but his job is to make sure our schools are safe, district office is safe, kids are safe, staff is safe, and so that's his job. Another thing coming out is they really put, the legislature put money that each school would have somebody, whether it be a guardian or SRO. Well, guess what, Liberty County, we already had SROs at all schools. We were ahead of that, and so I'm very proud that, you know, throughout the years we've been able to do that and maintain it. And that program's grown in the last few years. We got some really good SROs in our schools. I just, you know, when one gets pulled off and maybe gets another promotion, goes on the road or goes into another role, I'm always thinking, how are they going to replace that one? That was such a good one, you know, and all of a sudden they do it. They do it every time. They go put somebody in there that's just as fine. And so these guys are personal, you know, they're good guys. They know how to talk to people. They know how to talk to parents and how to talk to kids. And they you'll see those SROs sometimes on the sideline helping coach. You know, they just do it all. They just wear a lot of hats. But as we talk about this, and I'm going to let them speak, I'm suggesting, I'm advising, I'm warning y'all to do the Guardian program. The board has to have final say so. If the board says no, we don't do it. There's about 42 districts out of 67 that already do it. And Rob did it down at Franklin. They were part of that program. Rob's a certified card-carrying guardian. We have some people in place. Ricky's one of them, has law enforcement credentials. We're going to tweak that a little bit. I would love for him to carry. Daryl Johnson did that before. He was open carry when he served in that position. I think that gives another. He's in the schools all the time. I don't want him here just sitting around. I want him at the school. And this morning was a great example. I'm at Hosford School at 7:30, and I'm meeting with some staff over there. They say, oh, here comes Ricky. You know, that's what we want. That gives us an extra, you know, presence of somebody who's able to help people and defend people. But I just want us to have that conversation. I want you to ask, as you should, you know, I want to hear your heart. There are some questions. Some of y'all have given me some good questions. I don't know. We're going to find out from the experts tonight. But the sheriff's office is really, you know, supporting this. It goes through the sheriff's office. And if the sheriff said, well, I don't want to do it, we would have the opportunity to go to a neighboring county and go through that. And that's all in your packet. I don't take away from what Bobby said, but I just want y'all to listen to him, ask those questions. We will not take any action tonight. This is a workshop setting. I just want to have those conversations and start that. And hopefully with the expectation, if everybody's unanimous, I really think this is something we need to be unanimous on. If anything we've ever been unanimous on, this should be one of them. I just want to get our questions answered, make sure we're all on the same page. So, guys, I'm going to turn it over to y'all. Our workshops are very informal, so just speak up so the camera can hear. And,
yes, sir. Thank you, Superintendent. Basically, these packets from DOE are really good. If you just look to it, page 13 goes over the training. I know that's probably a big question, so if you go to page 13, this is what the state requires. Each guardian has to complete an initial 144 hours of training. 12 hours of that is diversity training, and 132 hours are firearm training. They have to be pretty proficient. 85%, which is higher than what we are required to do. So there's a lot of training that goes through, and if you go through that, it basically explains from page 13 to page 16. And then there's also the yearly requirement that they require 8 hours of defensive tactics training, 12 hours of legal training, 16 hours of the firearm training, and then the pistol. So a lot of this is on the sheriff's office. We would be doing the training. We would be doing we would carry the liability insurance. We have to have on each guardian. I talked to Bay County Sheriff's Office. They were the first sheriff's office who started this several years ago. A lot of this is done through grants, and that's what we would need, obviously, the cost for the training. We would supply the firearm, holster, and then the ammunition, and a vest. They would be given a vest that could be kept inside their office. And if something was to happen, they would put that vest on. It would probably be red, so we can identify them. If we were coming inside the school, we would know who the guardians are. And obviously, we'll already know who the guardians are. There's different ways that you can do it. The state requires you can either open carry or conceal. That would kind of be up to us how we would do it. I think we've kind of discussed it a little bit. We would like concealed carry. So it's kind of, I guess, up to us how we would mandate that. A lot of this is really done on the sheriff's office. If y'all are good with it and the sheriff's good with it, then we basically take over the entire program.
Can we interject?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Bobby. A couple questions. The liability insurance. So the sheriff's office would assume the liability insurance. So we would not, let me just ask a question. Say something happened. Say a kid got a gun. We get sued. What does that look like if it's a liability? Does that fall back on this insurance or would it fall back on the school?
I would assume both.
A kid got a gun from a guardian?
Mm-hmm.
I would assume probably both. At the end of the day, we got the insurance. We have
right.
A pretty substantial insurance policy,
mm-hmm.
and then there's going to be something there. We both probably get, you know,
okay.
I would say probably.
That would never happen.
Well, your guardian shouldn't be known who they are.
Do what now?
Your guardian shouldn't even know who they are. I mean.
No, let's say John Doe is carrying. It's we go with concealed, but yet he makes a boo-boo and he's got it in his back pocket, right behind his.
He leans over, they see it in
his. He leans over, and some little kid reaches and says, "Oh, look, Mr. Doe, you've got a gun," and he grabs it. And then that's a liability. Mm-hmm. Who's going to carry that? I mean, with the, you know, the liability, that's a, I would assume it would be a very strong policy for liability, so, but we.
Most of this will come, the training will come into effect too, so the defensive tactics, they'll learn to, you know who's around 21 feet, 360 degrees. So most guardians shouldn't allow. I know it's going to happen.
I'm thinking worst case scenario. Yeah, you know, I mean, I just.
And there's always a possibility, but mm-hmm. you know, during the selection process, the guardians that we pick, you know, that's things that they're going to be trained on, knowing where when people are around them, you know, to move your gun, you know, your gun away from somebody. Like you'll see us if we're talking to somebody, you know, if they get right in front of us, we'll kind of stand slanted.
Right.
Because we're trained to do that.
Right.
Keep our gun away from
us. So that's kind of part of the training.
I assume that you went through. And that's
your holsters now are, you just pull out.
You can't snatch your gun.
Two-point.
Retention.
And we can go with different type of holsters where you can't pull it out like that. With those,
they grab it, then they're going to the ground.
Okay. I want to go real quick, and I'm going to jump off the Guardian. I'm jumping off the Guardian program, but we're talking about security. I've talked to a lot of people. I've reached out to a lot of people around this county and talked to this and the majority of them, now I'd say 99% say, well, we should have been doing that the whole time, you know. But there is that 1% that I actually found at Toler, sitting in Toler, that said no, they did not agree with it. So. Just to be fair, I just wanted to get that out there. Now, we can have a guardian program. We can put SROs in there all day long. But if we are propping doors, and I've already talked to Kyle about this, we are propping doors at these schools, or a gate is blatantly open with a rock, propped open with a rock, it's not going to do us a dabbling bit of good. Now, saying that, there are schools that I have been told have been mandated to lock their classrooms. I'm going to look at Rob. Rob, was that Franklin County?
Yes.
Okay. So they locked the classrooms besides the out exterior doors. Do we do that in any of our schools?
Yes.
Our classrooms are locked, meaning I could not walk up to the first grade right now and open a classroom door.
Not if they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Not supposed to be able to.
Okay.
All the hardware is, when you lock it from the outside, it still opens and all from the inside. Kids are free
so
to
it's
go.
Fire, it's, you know, it's a fire marshal.
Everything's
okay.
code, but
okay.
Every classroom has the hardware where the classroom is supposed to be locked. And I walk around when I do my walks, I check doors.
Okay, that answers a huge question for me because I didn't think we had that in place.
Yes, we did.
So I just, and if you're, you know, we do have a safety person policing that makes me feel a lot better.
I check when I go to the schools. Mm-hmm. I check.
Yeah.
I check the order. Makes it hard for y'all.
Right.
James Duke remembers the time when the board could just walk in a class and sit there and 20 minutes watch the teacher teach, get up and go to the next class. We can't do that anymore.
I mean, we can.
Somebody's got some money.
Yeah, right.
I got no problem. I'm going in there every day, and that lunchroom is typically locked when I go pick up all the.
I can honestly say you might go into somewhere and you might find a door that's unlocked because I've been trying as hard as I can to get 100% buy-in, and you still have teachers that say, I don't want to be inconvenienced and have to open a door for a kid when they go out and go to the bathroom.
I hear it, but.
So it's an uphill battle, but I can tell you in the year that I've been here, it's a lot better now than it was, mm-hmm. and we're going to try to make it even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And address your issue about, I sent out a directive to all the principals as soon as you and I talk, make sure you are policing the campus, make sure that is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to reduce the amounts of openings where people can get in. If they've got to walk around and come in through the front, that's fine, so be it. Mm-hmm. But the Uvalde thing, it was a prop door, you know. That's what I hear. What there, but I've read that there was a prop door that made it easier for somebody to go in. And as you and I discussed, for a person who wants to do evil, they all they got is time. They just wait you out and say, okay, I've been here for 2 weeks and I see where the weakness is. That's where I'll go in.
And, you know, it was just like you said, the open door. I watched the actual video footage of some of it in this last week's class. And the boy actually went into the classroom, or went straight into the classroom. And we had been preaching that before, because I also watched some footage from a shooting that happened about 3 years ago, where two boys actually shot in the classroom. They entered that classroom and left the classroom 3 different times before they got up enough courage to do the shoot. The door would have been locked and never been able to enter the classroom. They entered the classroom, left the classroom, entered, left, and entered again, and the teacher never questioned why they were going in and out of that classroom. So we all got to do our job.
And it starts with leadership. That culture's got to change. And I think, you know, I think that if they see the board and they see administration and we're leading the charge, I think they will follow.
It might be optional this school.
Yeah.
They'll do it or they can go somewhere else.
One question I had, let's talk about timing. Now, when would this program, I guess it would have to go in front of the board, the money, to get the program started, what are we talking about as far as a timing goes?
So I don't think that we would be able to do it this upcoming school year because of the grant. I'm not sure exactly when we would have to apply for that grant yet, to be honest with you. I'm not 100% on time. Do you know?
We can start the program anytime after July 1st, and your sheriff's office can be reimbursed for it. The RFI will come out probably the end of July to the 1st of August. From the other schools that have started, I've been talking to, you know, this grant will cover training tools also, like if you need to buy a simulator for the shoot, no shoot simulation or any of that stuff. So we actually could apply for the grant. We might not have enough time this year to train any individual to get guardians in the school year by 2023, but we could get the grant and start putting training tools in place so that when we get out of school next year or whatever, or next summer, we can start training people. That's kind of the way other schools have been doing it. They take the first year's grant, get everything, get their policies written, start doing screenings. That way that money's paying for everything for the next year to be ready.
Well, and that's budget. You're talking about their budget and being reimbursed. I don't know.
So if we adopt the program, we've already, and I don't want to speak to who these people are. One of the things we can do is meet in executive session to discuss our safety plans, so we can do that out of public view and talk about who those folks are. We have folks in place now that can go ahead and be either quickly certified or recertified, and that even in lieu before anybody else takes a course.
How do we go about selecting? I mean, is there a selection process, or is there, hey, I want to be a guardian?
So there's a whole selection process that the state mandates. Like, so the first thing that they would go to, and this is done through the sheriff's office, they would have to do a psych evaluation, drug screening, and this is all on those pages.
Yeah, I'm just saying, how do we...
Do we
pick people? Or do they just say, hey, I want Kyle to be, or I want... Jackson
I think the initial thing would be is we've got to screen, you know, find out who would be interested.
So you just send out a poll to...
You don't want to make somebody do it.
You can't make them do it.
Rob, how did it work at Franklin?
Our first year we did support staff and admin, and we took those volunteers, that pool, and then we vetted that pool prior to giving those names to the sheriff's office. So myself, superintendent, and the principal would sit down and vet the group that volunteered. We went through the whole process with them when we sent out the initial email saying you can volunteer for this program. You will be vetted prior to going to the sheriff's office. Once you go to the sheriff's office, these are the steps that you will take and you've been a pathological problem. So we probably had 10 the first time going through. We vetted those 10, and out of that 10, there were 4 that went through. And those 4 went through, and we ended up losing one in firearms training, which could make it 3. Mm-hmm. And so we had 3 of the initial class. And I think there were
so you kind of did it by group, like a like you said, administrative staff, and then you went to your teachers?
Yeah, we went to our teachers our third year.
Okay.
They did it in different steps.
You phased it in.
And this is just a question. How many are we looking at maybe having in each school? Like total, will we have three guardians down there, or will we have three at the high school and three in Hartford, or have we come up with any? And I know we probably need to come up with numbers.
I guess it would just depend on how we want to do the, if we do it like Franklin did it, and who is able to make it through the process. I don't think we can have an exact number.
And
funding is going to be a big thing too. I mean,
in the selection,
30 people on it. You're talking about ammunition, 30 firearms, 30 holsters.
I was thinking, James, 2 to 3 at each school, possibly. One thing, like at the high school, you know, you kind of think of the layout of the high school. You got somebody in the front, you got an SRO office there, then you got, Dustin and I talked about the high school layout's just a little bit of a chop, but if you could have some people on each wing, one going towards the gymnasium, one going down towards our JROTC building, those kind of things, I think it gives you some people and some strategic things. I want to really work with the sheriff's office. And I'll give you this story. I want them, you know, we can come up with some vetting and all that, but I really want to do it working with them.
Oh, yeah.
And then the sheriff was talking, you know, there may be something we don't know about from a school perspective, and we're thinking, hey, this person's really good. And I deal sometimes with this at the church for positions and stuff, and it may be somebody I'm counseling with, and maybe they're not right ready for that leadership position that year, and because I know there's some things kind of going on, family or whatever, and then, you know, but nobody else knows that, so we have in the church, we have a nominating committee, and they'll try to find leaders to plug holes and different things, and sometimes they'll run that list by me, and I'll go, maybe not now on this one, you know, and it's not a no, but it's probably maybe not this year, because some things I know, there may be, you know, we feel good about a name, but Dustin went out to the house, and you know, kind of squelched maybe a little domestic issue. It didn't go anywhere, but he comes out and provides counseling, leadership, had a word of prayer with him. But then we come and say, hey, Dustin, how about this one? And Dustin goes, maybe not now. You see what I'm saying? I want them to feel good because they're seeing people on the side maybe we're not exposed to. And I trust their judgment. They may not see something we see on the school side, you know.
Let's say we open this thing up to, like Rob said, admin staff and support staff. Are we going to let them submit an application? Because reading this, it says people can apply for this.
How did they do that? Unfortunately, we just reply to an email that we went through, but when they applied, filled out a sheriff's application.
And then it'd go to
it would come to us and then we would go through the process of
and of course I guess if we did it first we could probably call some that we may know that, and then it would go to them and they would I guess do the site counseling and all the other training and if it passed all that then they could probably be a guardian. Then the next round, if there is a next round, then we have teachers submit applications for it.
If there was a need.
If there was a need. So,
but at any time, I mean, you can't make anybody do this. We can't say anybody's got to do it.
Not
but
a soul.
At any time. If you do see something, you or Dusty or one of the board or Ricky or anybody sees anything, I mean, who's that person that we're going to go to and say, hey, I don't know, this person right here, you might want to take a look at this.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about who, do we go to you, do we go to Dusty, if they've applied for it or whatever, and, you know, something's in that nature.
I think the vetting has to be phenomenal.
Okay.
I think obviously the psychological evaluation, the training is a vetting, part of the vetting. Right? Can they actually do what's required of them, meet those minimum standards, the shooting stuff and all that? But the big thing is making sure that we feel good about it. You may have some people just says, I want to do it, and you're going, you know, you're not keeping your classroom locked. And maybe Ricky comes back and says, you know that one right there? That's my worst offender right there.
Yeah.
You know, boom, that right there. And see, I wouldn't maybe know that, but he is. And they wouldn't know it, but he does. And then vice versa. There's all kinds of situations. Right. I just think we have to vet real carefully. Somebody may get feelings hurt. Well, I really wanted to do that, you know. Then it opens up the door for accusations of maybe discrimination. You weren't fair. It's political. And I, you know, there's always going to be that element of it. But I think we just have to make a decision based on who we think's a better fit. I don't know. It ain't about who's the best. It's who we feel like's more of a fit for what we're doing. And I think a lot of that has to do with what they do, their availability, maybe even placement around the campus. You know, I think that's what I do with it as well.
Well, I think you're going to have to set a limit somewhere in application process, because I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe you probably have quite a few that will want to do this. You know, so if you got 75 apply for it, you just say if you got 10% out of that, you know.
But now the training that may
weed out a bunch.
Weed out a bunch, because you're basically looking at 2 months of training?
Well,
it would be
132
hours.
It would
be
144 hours.
Would they be paid for this training?
So the training,
the sheriff's office would pay our people to go to the training?
The grant pays for the training. There's no salary incentive.
You get $500
initially from the state, but other than that, there's no. I mean, this is 8 weeks of your free time and not fun with us.
We say Tim's going to carry. He's going to be one of our guardians out in the high school.
Tim's off the lid
now. But if we say we're going to send him to training, and he's got to go to 2 weeks training, he's going to expect some pay for that, probably.
Yeah, we going to get. Are we
going to pay for it?
Yeah,
we. Or is the grant going to pay for it?
Nobody's going to pay for it.
We got paid by Franklin County. We got our salary. Because in the summer months, you're not going to fire, you know, from 12 to 4 o'clock. It's just too hot outside.
Yeah.
So we'd always go in the morning or late afternoon and get our rounds down the range. And then the other times we're in our office. And then we'll just be back out of the range.
And that's why you start with it. I mean, interrupt the admin and notes, because they're here 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And you can do that some in the summer. Teachers is going to be more of a challenge. Now, some of them are off in the summer, but a lot of them work too. So, I mean, you almost have to do this training pretty much in the summer as much as you can, you know.
And that's what I'm, you know, kind of thinking. If we go through the program and admin people, and we ain't got enough admin people to do it, then you're going to have to probably use teachers. And if you get them, they get involved in it, then they gonna, I'm gonna say, they probably want to get paid for their time out there.
Time for the training?
Yeah.
Well, and that's what Rob said, if we're doing it during the summer, they're already getting paid.
Say our math teacher down there, science teacher, said they off the summer, but then they turned the application in to be in this.
Yeah.
Then we're going to pay.
And then they pass the psychological evaluation and whatever standards y'all said.
Yeah.
Then they got to go to training. Then who's going to pay their salary? Or
travel or per diem or
right.
anything.
Are we going to furnish transportation to a firing range? I mean, all
the things. They do it differently. I know in Bay County, they pay for their travel and per diem and all that just for the training. But they don't get paid a salary.
They get travel
reimbursement.
Do you know if they pull that probably out of the grant?
I'm not sure. No, I think that was done strictly by the superintendent.
And Rob, you said Franklin County did it through the school.
But they were getting paid anyway.
They were 12-month employees.
So y'all have any teachers do it down there?
No, when I left, we had 9, and they were all support staff, admin, your AD, all 12-month employees, basically, were there. So we didn't have any we had some that volunteered, but they just make it a better process.
Another thing, we know the initial training, what it takes, Dr. Mills. What about yearly retraining?
Recertification.
Recertification, because you know they got to go back to firing range and kind of maintain. I want to, but I don't want to keep it.
Every 6 months, isn't it?
So the state mandates, it's the same requirements as us, which is, every 6 months, to go through, that's the same thing they have to go through.
Page 20 addresses recertification, annual basis.
Says the recertification requirements are determined by the sheriff's office responsible for the initial certification in conjunction with the Department of Law Enforcement. So if something changes with you, it changes with them, correct?
Yes, sir.
That how that's going to work?
Yes, sir.
Are we asking all the right questions, Rob?
Yeah, you are.
I mean, you've been through this, so, you know, I know you went through it with the board down there and they did. And this is, that's good about the reimbursement, because we need to understand, and, you know, if they're not a 12-month employee and teachers do, you know, do this, that could cost us some budget. So we need to be prepared for that. And
always remember this, anything to do with teachers will be a union issue.
That's what I would.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a wishy-washy, because if you've got a guardian, you don't know nobody to know who they are, so how could they report that? That would seem to me that would eliminate them right there.
It's voluntary, so if you volunteer to do something, going into it knowing that you may or may not be reimbursed, how could you challenge that? Okay.
Well, kind of, according to the program, and some of Ricky or y'all, if an incident was to happen at a school, if you, a guardian, you're supposed to immediately respond to that. If you a teacher with a class full of kids, how can you do that? That kind of eliminates.
Or are you
teachers
supposed to?
No, you can't.
You can't. You got to keep
your kids. First responsibility as a teacher is the kids.
Your protection
kids. You
of
have
your,
to be accountable for the kids. So you cannot respond to any other part of the school unless you have somebody responsible for those kids.
Yeah, so the only way
so
you would be utilized.
Teacher, this is personal opinion and what I see in my eyes, you're especially on the initial, until we see how this thing goes and how it plays out and whatever, if you train a bunch of teachers, you're wasting your money and wasting your time.
Yeah.
Because if something happens, the only time, the only way that teacher would be in the play is if somebody came in their classroom.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to, because it's law.
Our guardian's going to get them before they get there.
Year 3 to open it up to teachers. Bring one of the first seat if we can sustain the program.
Right.
And do we have enough applicants for support staff and admin to have enough bodies where we want them? We were still short a little bit, so we opened it up to teachers. Like I said, the only teacher, there's two teachers I went through. There was the dean and the AD. AD was 12-month employee, so that kind of helped us. So the only teacher that we did was the dean, he was a teacher on special assignment.
And Kyle, you can probably answer this. Do we have enough employees at each school site for just admin people to be selected for this?
You don't with admin, but you do with admin and support staff.
Yeah, well, that's why.
Yeah, we do. I think personally, I think we'll be good. Just from talking to people, I think we had it. I mean, they make it through it. Scenarios happen. We got a note on this one. Yeah. We might, you know, put them at the bottom of the list just because of things, but I think we personally do. I really do.
And who does the school board approve the policy for having guardians in this? Do we have a policy? We got to approve.
So,
I was just going to say, it says it's pretty simple what the statute says. Essentially, just a majority vote by the board. And then it's all sheriff's.
So, we don't have nothing to do with any policies or anything after that?
The sheriff's office is entirely in charge of screening, training, evaluating, and giving certifications and all that stuff.
Okay, let me ask this question.
What about a procedure, though? Maybe not a policy, James? Maybe a procedure?
Let me ask you this. If us as a school board, and I think the sheriff will work with us 100%, right. I believe he will. If we say we won't conceal carry in all of our schools, we don't want people walking around other than the sheriff, SRO. If we say that, then is the sheriff's office going, is that how you're going to train the people and how you're going to implement it?
Absolutely. We would prefer concealed carry.
And I agree with that, too.
Yeah. I do, too.
I think, again, the only person I'm okay with it, and I would leave it to his discretion, would be Ricky.
Yeah.
And we've had someone in that role before who did open carry and went to all the schools and, you know, put her badge. I mean, it'll be obvious he is an officer.
I'm good with that. I guess if we have to trickle down to teachers, and I don't think we want all the teachers walking around with a 9mm strapped on the side.
I hate that optic.
That's what I'm saying. It don't look good.
But I think as we meet in executive session with Ricky, with the sheriff's office, we go over safety plans, those kind of things. That we identify those folks. I don't want anybody to know who they are. You know, because as opposed to doing a meeting and say, okay, our guardians in school is Coach Dusty and Coach Bobby and Coach Jason, and then people hear that and say, okay, now there's my
I gotta take out first.
And I'll figure out where Bobby's teaching, where Dusty's teaching, where Jason's teaching, and then we'll just, you know.
Okay, another question. I got a whole list of questions.
Good. That's why we're here.
I used to work in prison, so Ricky understands that, I think. Type of weapon, I think y'all said probably a 9 or 40.
So we carry a 9mm. That's probably what we would do, just so we're not changing ammunition on how we train. If they're training with us, we would stick with
it. Is that what you carry down there, Rob?
Correct.
How many clips or how many... Do you just have a clip in the firearm, or do you have an extra clip?
We carry anywhere from 2 to 3 extra.
Yeah, see.
Is that something that y'all put on your vest, or do you carry 2 to 3 on you at all times?
And that's what weapons is in the 43 is. Okay. That's a little bit smaller magazine.
How many magazine?
How many rounds?
9, 18.
It held
17.
The
43X, which is easier to conceal. It's not.
Yeah, and that's what y'all would purchase for.
So that's what Franklin carries for a concealed firearm. It's probably one of the best. Yes, sir.
Okay, y'all purchase the things and just say. 2 mags. Weapon inspections. The person that carries the... Who's going to do the weapon inspections for these?
That would be our firearms instructors, which is me and Sydney Johnson.
And how often would y'all do these?
So, depending on what we can do with the grant, our guys, our deputies, shoot twice a year. One's a qualification, one's a tactical shoot. I would prefer guardians to do the same thing that our deputies do. So it would be twice a year if the grant, the money, the funding allows it.
Another question I've got. If it's our school board policy for this county, I didn't see in here that we're required, but we may offer that to the private schools in this county to come be a part of that. I don't know. We got, what, one private school in the county that may or may not be interested in participating in that. I don't think they have no SRO or nothing in it.
I'm not aware of one. But yes, state charter schools and private schools can be invited to participate in that.
If they're interested.
If they're interested, correct.
Actually, if for some reason our board chose not to, the board of the charter school could, on their own, choose to do it for them.
Ammo type, we're gonna furnish some armor piercing ammo so they can, if I think I'm gonna go in and shoot up the school, I'm gonna probably have me a vest on too.
So that's something that we'll have to talk about, and we'll have to talk to Rob, because difference in ammunition.
Yeah.
All ammunition, it holds its form, as you know. I mean, right. You're in corrections, right. Ricky knows. All ammunition holds its form, it can go through walls. So if we got it'd go through a block wall, and you don't want somebody just firing.
Right.
And maybe miss it, and then you got a round going through the wall. Me personally, you carry what we carry on the road, which is hollow points, which is meant to stop threat.
From an armor standpoint, I was an armor for 20-something years at the prison, for the prison. We did a lot of testing and stuff like that, and in closed-in areas like this, we used 115-grain HPs. That way, if you were shooting all our schools or block hall and stuff, if you were shooting, you didn't have to worry about the next classroom. Everything was contained in one classroom. So the same thing, if we had to go inside a unit inside a prison, we didn't have to worry about shooting outside the prison by using that type of ammunition. So I think something like that probably would.
What about the vest? I mean, what about the personal? What do you call them?
You'll do level 2 or level 3 down in Franklin. Level 2. So, I mean, that's something that once we see it up and running, we could discuss level 2, level 3. I'll be honest with you. Our deputies, we went to level 3 because the majority of the shootings that we're seeing, even with law enforcement, not just in schools, people are starting to use rifles. They're not using pistols. Yeah. So that would be.
I'm assuming the level 3 is more.
High power, yeah.
So more expensive. Will those be incorporated into the grant budget already? What you guys will. Will we see your budget before it's submitted? Will any of us see that? I mean.
Well, we're going to. You already started working on quotes and stuff with Fred. So Bobby's already contacted the guy that we go through for guns and vests and everything, and they're already putting together quotes, so we can get that to you.
I think just being a part, you know, we have to, as you do, we have to answer to our community. Your community's asking questions. Well, what? How much money are you talking about? Well, and you're going to have people say, well, how much money's come down for ammo? And I know that sounds to some people's like, really? But we do need to be as transparent as we can.
So I can answer part of that. So me and Ricky met with him and also talked to Brett. One of the things we're talking about, it is a DOE grant, so we know what that looks like.
Okay.
We'll do a share file on that. So we're gonna work with them in the writing of the grant, because it's our format. You know, Brett doesn't work with DOE, but we do, and we know kind of how.
That's awesome.
We know who it goes to, so we're gonna work with them in the writing of the grant. They'll know more about what it needs to say and a little bit about where to put it. And so it'd be just like those ESSER grants that y'all get and everything. It's gonna have that, have the amount. There will be totally amendable, you know, if we see, okay, we've got some leftover money here, we'll go just like what Mandy and Gay has done for, you know, or Melanie will go and say, okay, we want to transfer $10,000 over here for the level three beds or whatever. We can do all of that. And you have to get it approved. DOE's going to approve it and all that stuff. So that'll help them, but it'll help us as well. We know the format. They know what it needs to say, per se, that we're working on.
But this is not a reimbursable grant like most of our grants are. This is actually going to come down. They'll get the money then.
It depends. It depends on when you start it. It will be reimbursable early on. Before you get it, you can be reimbursed. I think, remind me, if you told me Franklin County has some openings for something they can use, what would you tell me?
They have three openings.
They have.
Three openings for training.
Yeah.
So we can send three people down there for training?
And when is that?
He didn't tell me anything back then.
I think it was this month, wasn't it?
Next month.
But we had to pay for it.
It's in July.
He would have.
Yeah, you had to pay.
I think they would pay for it, but we would have to reimburse Franklin County for that when we got our grant. I think that's what the sheriff said. That they would offer those positions to us because they had them open, so they would pay. They'll use their grant money and we'll reimburse them out of our grant.
So the grant, does the grant, is it so much per school per year or initially?
For the district.
For the training?
District.
Or does it matter how many applicants you have or how many you pick that are going to go through the training? So if you pick 2 or 10, is the grant money still the same?
It's a set grant.
It's a set amount of money.
We don't know what the set grant is, and it's not a grant to Liberty County School System. When all the paperwork comes out,
it will
say nothing about Liberty County School System. It'll say Liberty County Sheriff's Department. They set forth $100,000 startup grant for each district in the state of Florida. A lot of the districts have already started the program, and they're still getting the $100,000 every year to continue their program.
Okay, you just said a key word that just flew me in, startup. So this grant, I'm going to be very optimistic, that this is money that's going to continue. So we start this program, we get this money, we get granted, Sheriff's Office, we're doing great. It's gone. I'm going to be optimistic too.
I'm going to tell you that since it started, back when Rob, because I think Rob's class was one of the first ones that started the Guardian program 4 years now, Rob, 5 years now?
Yeah.
I think 5 years ago. The grant has came out in July, $100,000 every year. They've had, right now, I think the lady, I talked to the grant lady at the training last week, she said right now because a lot of the schools are not taking, the districts are not taking advantage of the program and not starting the program, there's like $3.5 million still sitting in the fund that can be doled out to the districts. She even told me that, I got her name or contact information and all, if we had any questions or whatever. She said it's $100,000. She didn't know how big our district was, and I didn't tell her how big our district was. Didn't tell her how many we wanted. I was just asking general questions. She said if $100,000 was not enough to get the first phase of the program done this year that we wanted to get done, then give her a call. She would send us a submittal, and we could actually get more money because the chief of Office of Safe Schools and the governor want to see Guardian programs in every district in the state of Florida. That is their goal.
And there's
plenty of money out there to do it. Now, as far as the money drying up, you know as well as I do, ESSER and everything else, we can't guarantee how much we're going to get or if we're going to get or nothing else. We all sit around, you know, hoping if we're going to get more than we did last year or at least what we got. I can't tell you that. It ain't going to be that. I can tell you, as long as we got Governor DeSantis,
okay,
we'll get it every year.
Okay, I'm gonna take your cue right there because Governor DeSantis, it will run again, and hopefully he will get it.
Yes.
what happens when this governor leaves us and we get another governor? Here's where I'm going. This, I think it's a great program. I'm fully in support of it. But I want us to look the long road. I want us to go the long road on this. What if, and let's all keep that in the back of our minds and have that in our plan, what if that funding does not get approved 8 years down the road? We're not going to be in any better shape 8 years down the road than we're going to probably be a lot worse off with crime. I mean, that's the way the world is turning right now. So let's look long term. Let's think long term, not just the here and now, not just when we've got the most wonderful governor in the world, because he may not be here. So I think that we just need to be planning for that. How are we going to continue this program if there is no funding to support it?
So the short answer for that is actually, this came about during Rick Scott administration. I believe he was governor during Parkland. And there was actually a sunset date on the Stoneman, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act, or whatever they call it. Governor DeSantis had a press conference last week, obviously, two weeks ago, to renew that. So that guarantees some funding that can go past his administration. I think the second thing that's really in our favor, regardless if you get a bad governor, which I hope not, I'm like you, I hope we don't, but elections have consequences. We see that nationally. We see that on every level, local, state, and federal government. You got a really heavy Republican conservative legislature who, you know, controls the purse strings. Now we know that there's opportunities for them to veto, you know, things, to get vetoed, but then there's also instances where they can override a governor's veto on that. I'm fairly confident the money will be there. The good thing is if we can establish a nucleus of people to do that, then the cost for them the next year is not there. It's just basically a recertification. Again, leaves it up to the sheriff to do, for the sheriff's office to say, okay, let's just say, just for numbers sake, those 10 that we did, can we do that next year? We get clearance, we clear for them, they do it again. Well, they won't have to go through all the training with it. They won't need another gun, won't need another vest, won't need, you know, those kind of things. Hopefully no ammo. I hope we can still use the same ammo. I don't know what shelf life is on all that. But it should severely reduce the amount of money. And at the end of the day, if we've got that nucleus, you know, I think we need to, again, look ahead and be planning on that. We need to have some waiting in the wings. We see some people getting ready to retire. Go ahead and use some of, you know, apply for that money. I think we're going to be fine. Once we get the initial cost out of the way, I think it'll be something very manageable. And I don't think it was ever meant to be something that's going to be a money drain thing on the legislature. They're still putting money in school hardening. You know, they're still trying to make sure schools are secure. They put money in, you know, Safer Watch and some of those other things to keep schools safe. Communication systems and stuff have been very good at that. But I think this program is kind of like they make that initial investment in that school district, give them all $500, which, you know, is nice, you know. But then all of a sudden you get that training and then you're kind of set until you disqualify yourself for some reason. Or you say, I don't want to do it anymore, you know. Yeah. But I do believe you need to have, I think they're long term, you do need to have plans for that. And let's use that scenario. What if the funding does cut off? Then I think that's where, you know, we as a board will have to come together and say, we're going to take $5,000 out of general fund and go train some more guardians this year. You know,
and I think we just need to be realistic about that. I think we need to look long term. That's my goal. This is great. It's a wonderful program. What's the long term plan? You know?
And your reoccurring costs are going to be about 100 rounds of ammunition per individual that we train. You know, because you don't have the psychological evaluations that you're going to have to pay for. They'll already have the simulators bought, the training tools that they bought. You know, that's what the big thing is now, to get it up and go with. But your reoccurring, you know, 100, 200 rounds a year per person that you got, which, you know, right now is pretty expensive with the price of ammunition.
Yeah.
But you don't have all the purchasing of the guns and the guns and the holsters and the vest and
Who does the safety inspections of the guns? I was saying that sheriff's office and, okay. I mean, they go look at them, make sure.
I had been asked a question earlier today, and I really didn't know how to answer it, so I was going to, you know, ask y'all. Is there some way, you know, 6 months, we only going to qualify every 6 months. That's a long time for somebody to have something without somebody looking at it.
Yeah.
Especially when it's a person that's not law enforcement minded like some of us are. Is there some way that your SROs in your school could periodically, once a week, whatever, once a month, whatever we come up with, once a day, I don't care, say, hey, you got all your equipment?
And we can do that. This is just what the states require.
Right, I know.
So we can,
you can add on to you can
do it every day.
But I would just feel more comfortable if, you know, if we got a normal Joe Blow that's toting a gun inside the school, I don't want us to be issued him a firearm and 3 magazines and 75 bullets, and then a month later you go check him and he's got 2 magazines and he's down to 1 45 bullet. Because he's lost all his bullets or whatever.
And there are bullets laying around in the classroom.
Yeah,
that
you know what I mean?
You
know, I went and loaded my gun.
And it happens. They get complacent.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
Inspections like that we do with our guys quarterly.
We do quarterly inspections on all of them.
Right. And I just would feel better if we had somebody. And I think the SROs we have would do a great job and be tactful enough to be able to do it to where we would know that people still have what they're supposed to have and it ain't laying around somewhere where it don't need to be.
Do they take their guns home with them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even it's on issued. Weekends and?
Mm-hmm. It's issued to them.
They've got to be screened. Everybody's not getting one.
That's what you're talking about.
That's very, 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 very.
I mean,
the maturity level, they really, you know, they're not going to be.
Everybody would have a concealed carry.
No worries, you're not going to be a guardian.
Hold on. Everyone has to have a concealed carry.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and they get a, we got a volunteer sheriff's department badge through them saying that, hey, we're a guardian. So if we get pulled and say, what, you have 3 firearms in your vehicle.
Right. Cool.
What if they've already got their concealed carry? I mean, no, I'm not talking about the training, but like, if you've already got your concealed carry, I mean, is that just a plus for them?
Plus.
They don't have to do that or re-up it or anything because it's just, let's just expire.
So I've got a question. So if I'm a guardian, I've been issued by the Liberty County Sheriff's Office a firearm, and I'm concealed carry, am I restricted? For example, I go, you know,
to the hospital.
Those of us who are concealed carry, you go to theater and you have it. Am I prohibited from taking that weapon with me as concealed carry for my own personal protection?
So the way I'm...
Or do I need to put that somewhere and use my own?
I would. It's going to be up to us and how we do the policy, but I would suggest when I've looked at other agencies and their policies that they are strictly at the school.
At, right.
They are not a law enforcement officer. That's known. That's in the policy that they'll have to sign for. That, you know,
saying in the worst case there, I'm in a theater. Somebody comes in, I'm concealed carry, I pull out, shoot, find out that's the Liberty County Sheriff's Office, and I'm in Lee County Theater.
Right, and that's something that we would have to put in our policy.
So even though you carry them home?
They're just
for job related.
It's just for your job related purposes.
You carry your own concealed carry.
Just like if there was an incident that happened out on the street, they are not to take law enforcement action. They are not a law enforcement officer.
That's right.
And they'll receive all that.
Could the guardian?
That would be part of the, and I've looked at all these different policies from different agencies, that's one of the first things that's in there.
Could the guardian,
sounds like we need an advisory,
like go to the football game out there with his sheriff department?
So he's a guardian at all school functions?
School functions.
That would be considered.
That would be considered.
That would be, have to be in policy.
I have another question I got. Say we go concealed carry, and the governor signs the open carry in the state of Florida. Is that going to change what we do in the school?
That's going to be up to us, because in through this program, you can open carry if you want to now. It says that, but suggesting...
If Rob's got...
Would that change your mind?
If he's got a concealed carry...
It would not change my mind.
And he says, I'm tired of wearing this thing where people can't see it, and I can open carry now, so I'm going to open carry mine.
If the sheriff tells him not to, okay?
In the policy, we would have that strictly written, like that you are only to consider carry a concealed weapon.
My opinion of the guardians is, like Superintendent was saying, is for them to be on home for somebody to know who they are.
Right.
And that way, if they're strategically placed in these schools, in certain areas, in the high school, for example, in the back corner where the baseball field is, you know, nobody knows who that person is. You got an active shooter trying to get in the back door. Hopefully it'll be locked, but if it's not, gets in. They don't know who or what's carrying a gun in there, and that person can, you know, return fire or whatever they have to do to stop the threat. That's our opinion. That's why we would suggest staying concealed if the governor does change the law.
That's what I would feel like. Any more questions?
I think it needs to be as simplified as it can be. Don't overthink the process. The more steps you put into something, the more errors there are for problems. I mean, I'm all for it. So.
Who's going to be our advisory person to work with them? Like when they say, do you want concealed versus, I mean, we've seen her talk about it, we'll probably beat that dog to death, but would that be you? Would that be Ricky? I mean, like an advisory person to work with the sheriff's office. You said Brett's working with the grants and...
Yes.
We're going to have an executive... I'm thinking an executive meeting.
So this would be the next step. This would be the next step. If y'all... And I'll talk to y'all again individually. And you know, if... I want there to be 5-0. I'm begging for there to be... a unanimous vote on this. At that point, if y'all say yes, I'll get Renee to put that as an agenda item. We'll pass that. Then we'll start some processes on how to pick that, work on budget, work on all that kind of stuff. But when we get down to the nuts and bolts of it, you know, as far as that being a part of the safety plan, that part we'll do in executive session. So obviously Ricky's going. He'll be our main point person from the district office, but you know, my hands are on a little bit of everything, obviously, because that's my job. So I'll be working close beside him. We went up there together, you know, to talk with the sheriff and talk to Bobby and Dusty and all of them and Jay about the program again. But Ricky will be our chief point person on day to day operations of safety.
I got one last question. You got something, Ricky?
I was just going to say that, you know, on this program with these guardians and stuff, I talked to several police departments. Some of these districts are big enough, they have their full 300-person police department just for the school.
Jackson County?
Dade County right now has 435 officers just in their police, school police department, not counting our regular police department. But they still do the guardian program. They got 150 something guardians plus the 400 officers down there in Dade County. So
imagine they do.
But anyway, they all expressed that this is the sheriff's office deal. If the sheriff's office sees something going on or has reported something about a guardian, they have the authority to pull that guardian's certification at any time.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we go through and we look and we say, you know, this person, you know, they got a gun hanging out or poked in their pocket or ain't doing, or if I walk through and I don't think they're doing what they need to be doing, I can go consult with the sheriff's department. And if we come to the conclusion that person don't need to be a guardian, they have the power to pull their certification at any time. So it's a checks and balance. You know, we might hit it wrong the first time when we pick a few people. They might make it to the class, but that don't mean they're going to stay in their role as a guardian if we don't think they're safe around kids. I'm never, ever going to let a person walk around the school and act in any kind of way that I feel unsafe towards any kid in this district. and I'll go to them and I'll be the butt. I promise you, I don't care. And I'll say, Dustin, this one here don't need to be carrying no gun. I think we need to pull them. And we'll pull them. If they got something to say, they can come see me. I'll stand up to anybody around. It don't make a difference, because ultimately the safety in these schools is the most important thing.
Amen.
And that's the reason I know we got the right guy right there. But I'm going to tell you something. From me to you to Ricky to Rob, all y'all, I am so glad to see a partnership. This partnership that we have with this board and this administration and our sheriff and our sheriff's office, I feel really good about it. I feel like we're getting some groundage here. We're starting to move some barriers down that have been in the past that we've not been able to get through. And I appreciate you guys. Y'all have been at these meetings. Right. You have been present. And we appreciate you, and we want you here. We want you in the weeds with us, because this is our future. These are our babies, and I don't think I've met one person from Liberty County Sheriff's Department that has never felt that same way. So this is our kids, not just your kid, her kid. It's our kids, and I love every single one of them. And I just thank y'all for being so open and just bringing stuff to us constantly and working with us. And this partnership is just, it's critical, and we need it, and thank you.
And they got children, like you say, they got babies in the system. And they have a vested interest beyond their oath. They got children and their students. Mm-hmm. And so they know the importance of that for their own children. You know, so I agree 100% echo that, and amen to that. It's good stuff.
I'd like to say that we've had some good questions, good answers, and I think it's a good program. But I'd like to ask Mr. Tim and Mr. Rob, I know you've been through the program. I hadn't been able to talk to y'all one-on-one, but how's y'all feeling about the program, what you've heard?
I'm for it.
I mean, y'all in it every day, you know.
Yeah.
Say that last part again.
I would want to be one.
You would want to?
You would.
Okay.
I'm gonna run to wherever it's at in the end.
Right.
Go with,
right.
With or without a gun. I'd sure like to have a gun.
Good answer.
Thank you, buddy.
Do they make left-handed pistols?
Yes.
I shoot right-handed.
Oh, you shoot right-handed?
Howard told him one good thing.
Yeah, the program is one of the better ones. I've been in military law enforcement for
right.
17 years. Went through every program. What they are going to put the Guardians through in the amount of time is some of the best training that I've been through. Active shooter, they say that the average is 3 minutes. And some of our road deputies may be on the other side of the county. These guys are just right up town, but it's going to take them a good minute and a half to get to me and my kids. So it's always on my head. It's always that. Better to have, you know, more guns on target, so to speak. So it's a phenomenal program. I think it's going to keep our kids safe for a long time. So I'm all for it, 100%.
And in sharing that, and I appreciate that, Rob's been through it, so he knows the value of it. The last two issues at schools, one was in Gadsden, Alabama, in the summer, which prompted making sure we had this. Again, thank the sheriff's office. Jody alluded to that. The partnership of, hey, we got to do something. We need to do it now to have those off-duty. So if y'all go to the schools this summer, you see those guys are off-duty, and they're helping. Thank them, mm-hmm. You know, because they might have just come off of the shift, and they're, you know, go home and sleep a little bit, come in, you know, on a day off. They're doing it on days off. So, Gadsden, Alabama had a summer program at a school. From what I'm seeing, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, an armed guy going to the doors, they're locked, no reason to have door, locked doors. He's going around, and he's trying to find an opening, and an off-duty officer takes him out. And rightfully so. And then the other one was a couple weeks ago, Dallas, Texas. Same kind of situation, summer program, and no kids were hurt, no staff were hurt, but the perpetrator was taken out, and that's what you get. So I think that's the kind of examples we're talking about, you know, where I guarantee if there's an issue at school, those two right there are going to bust their rear ends to get there, along with the sheriff and the cavalry, but Rob's already there.
Right.
Rob's already there, you know, and that's the response time. Again, on those things like that, you got somebody in place. So, and I appreciate Tim's, you know, hey, I'm going to do that. That's a good thing. I do too. So.
Well, we got to impress upon our staff that the key, and you just spoke about it, the gun from going to them doors and then being locked.
Yeah.
That prevented the lock. That's what stops most.
Save lives.
And the teachers and staff need to understand that.
Right. Because for their safety.
For their safety.
And the kids.
Right.
But for their own. You know? There's always adults get shot in these things too. It's all, you know, God forbid anybody, but every one of these, always kids, it's always staff members.
And you know they say, well, it's security is not convenient.
Right.
To nobody.
Right.
I've lived by that for 26 years while I worked at the prison. It's not convenient. You hate it, but I'm here today because of security.
That's right.
So, and you know, it's hard for somebody out here that ain't never been faced with none of that to say, I ain't knocking that door. I'm going to put me a little magnet up here at the top to keep it propped up just enough where the kids could go in and out, but it looks locked. If you look down the hallway, it looks locked, but it ain't really locked.
I think a lot of that, once they start doing it, it's like anything else, once they get in the routine, I think it'll not be as aggravating for them, but they've got to be, and it's easy for me to sit up here and say this, but they've got to be forced to get in that routine.
Well, that's what Jay said. The administrative leadership side will handle that part. And I'll be very matter of fact about it. This is a directive. This is what you're going to do. If you can't do it, you might find another job. But we're going to protect everybody. That part can happen. But the real thing, James, I think what you could help is that I can just put the magnet up here, or I can prop the door, that little thing, is that it's never going to happen here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That little Sandy Hook kindergarten class. If you go read that story, I promise everybody in this room will weep. If you hadn't, even if you knew about it, go back and read it. Everyone, those kindergartners lost their life, and there was just nobody there to defend them, and that was so preventable. But that whole Sandy Hook community, that where that school was?
Rural.
Most of the places were rural.
Yeah.
You know, so let's, you know, we never want to get to the point where we say, oh, it ain't never going to happen in Liberty County. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's a lot of things can happen anytime, anywhere, with people. I will tell you, and these guys know, Ricky knows, we go through a lot of threat assessments with kids who say things, and you have to take those things serious. Some of those profiles of some of the kids that we have, it's not a huge majority, fit some of the profiles that they see in the criminal world, and what you see in some of the, you know, loners, horrible family life, access to weaponry, those kind of things. We've got to keep our head on the swivel. We have got to do our best. And if we don't, then Liberty County needs to get some people in here that will. That's the way I feel about it. And I believe everybody, what Jody said, we've got a partnership. There ain't nobody trying to one-up nobody. We all wearing the same jersey right now. We all got the garnet, gold, and blue, and the white on to make sure these schools are protected.
Yep.
All right, any other questions, comments? All right, let's move right along to item B, dress code.
So uniform.
Okay. And does anybody have a quick break? You know, bathroom break?
We have school uniforms. We wouldn't even have to dress.
Exactly. You got to get back.
And a lot of parents would appreciate it.
I've got about 7:45. Do y'all need a quick bathroom break?
Yeah, give us 2 minutes.
How long is this discussion going to last?
2 hours.
Tim's got all kinds of stuff here. 10 minutes.
That's what I told him.
What are you going to do?